All right, I got Robert Johnson on the show today. He's the CEO and founder of MycoBoost, a functional mushroom brand, and also the CEO of Custom Capsule Consultants. Robert, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Joel. Really excited for this conversation.
Yeah, man, excited to jump into things with you. You know, I've had some functional medicine, or I should say functional mushroom folks on the show. You know, you and I were just talking offline about Namex and some of the Jeff Chilton and some of the folks there. So we've talked about some of the mushrooms, you know, in the past. But I'm curious for you. I don't know too much about MycoBoost. What are you guys doing differently in the industry that makes you unique? If someone's just tuning in, they're like, yeah, I know about functional mushrooms, chaga, lion's mane, reishi. What is MycoBoost doing differently than all the other brands out there?
Yeah, great question. I mean, MycoBoost actually came about really organically from within our company, I think is what makes me so proud of it. We had a company retreat where we had the head of production and sales and marketing all go out to a cabin in Big Bear for a couple of days. And we had like a Shark Tank style competition where we broke up into groups and had to come up with, you know, new product pitches. And the winning pitch that night was MycoBoost. And the idea was using functional mushrooms. Originally, we were going to combine them with other traditional supplements. You know, as we actually developed these products or learning more about functional mushrooms and how much mushrooms are needed on a daily basis or in a single serving, and ultimately decided that it was going to be a pure mushroom company. But I think the main difference that we're talking about, and you reference Jeff from Namex, is that MycoBoost uses the fruiting body of the mushroom. And the fruiting body is kind of maybe a awkward, strange term for people not in the industry, but all that means is it's the stem and the cap, the actual mushroom that we're all used to seeing that comes out of the ground, right? So when I first started, I learned that a bunch of functional mushroom companies use something different in their product, which is called the mycelium or the myceliated oats, right? So when mushrooms are grown commercially, they're grown on a starchy block substrate. This is the soil, essentially, for the mushroom to grow. And so the liquid culture, the spores of the mushroom are inoculated into this starchy substrate. And the root system, known as the mycelium, grows throughout that mycelial block. And then the fruiting body is what actually protrudes from that block. So there are some companies that use that fruiting body, including MycoBoost. In fact, we use a concentrated version of that fruiting body using a dual extraction technique, using both water and alcohol to extract all of the medical benefits out of the mushroom. But I was shocked and frankly kind of appalled to learn that a lot of these other brands, they go to these mushroom farmers and they don't buy the fruiting body, but they buy the mycelial block. And they pulverize that, and that's what's going into their capsules or their coffee. And mycelium does have some benefits to it. But as I learned from Jeff and from others in my research, the ratio of the benefits in mycelium to the actual fruiting body can be as much as 500 to 1. Not to mention, you're also getting a bunch of filler, right? You know, you're paying for a $40 high-end mushroom product. And essentially what you're getting, the majority in your active ingredient is dirt. And it might be the best dirt on earth, but that's not what you're paying for. My approach to making products maybe is not the best entrepreneurial approach. I don't think, how can I make this as cheaply as possible and make the most profit as possible? Rather, I think, how can I make a product that is so good that I'd want to take it, I'd be proud giving it to my friends and family, and, you know, have something that when people try it, they're going to notice the effects and want to keep using it. Because I don't really understand the business model behind deceiving the customer and then just hoping that they're going to continue to believe that your product is a placebo that's working for them. And there's a lot of evidence that placebos work. But I figure, you know, if you're going to give people or tell people that you're giving them mushrooms, you should give them the best possible product you can.
I love that. I couldn't agree. And that's why I wanted you on the show. Look, I mean, I told you before, I don't bring on people that I think are just trying to sell something, or they're bringing a product into the world that's not going to do any good. And so I love that you are so passionate, and alongside with your supplement company that you also manage to help people, like, let's say myself or other coaches or people that want to start their own brands, you are really helping them find and deliver quality products. And which I love, therapeutic doses too, that are going to actually have an effect. I eventually want to Tarantino this episode, and we'll go back and find out, because I know you have a longstanding relationship in the cannabis industry, but you've recently shifted over. And I do want to come back to that and learn why that was. But before we do, I want to continue on this path that we're talking on. I know with MicroBoost, you guys have several products, right? You've got powders, gummies, and things like that. What's your favorite product? And maybe just kind of tell everybody like what they can expect if they go to MicroBoost and they want to pick up some functional medicine mushrooms.
Yeah, by far the most popular product is our mushroom coffee. The MicroBoost coffee, we decided we're going to add cacao. And that's our secret. I mean, it's not too secret once you take one sip of MicroBoost, but it tastes more like a delicious hot chocolate. It does have some organic coffee in there, about 55 milligrams of caffeine, which is like a third of a cup of coffee or a cup of Earl Grey tea. And then it has, some natural energy from the cacao. And one of my favorite mushrooms, which is the cordyceps mushroom. It's used as a pre-workout for athletes, and it actually helps you get more oxygen into your lungs. It's good for the respiratory system. It's good for blood flow and good for energy. So that's one of my favorite ones, that and lion's mane. In fact, one of my favorite anecdotes about cordyceps was in the 90s, there was the women's Chinese track team broke so many records and won so many medals that the Olympic Committee drug tested them. And they were all passed all their drug tests, and their running coach credited the cordyceps mushrooms for their increased performance. So I always like that one. And, you know, we work with some MMA fighters, a guy on American Ninja Warrior, and they all love the cordyceps for their workouts. And I mean, they have unnatural amounts of energy just naturally themselves, but the cordyceps seem to take them to the next level.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've heard a lot of good things. I remember cordyceps, like you said, for VO2 max, oxygen, the ability to carry oxygen, capacity increases, lung capacity, great, all these things. I remember learning Aubrey Marcus when he started his brand on it, and I don't know how great those supplements are, but he had cordyceps as like one of their like flagship products. And that was when I first learned of it and all the therapeutic effects. So really cool. And I'm excited about this mushroom cacao. I'm definitely going to pick some up because I do need to transition away from it. And I think just introducing mushrooms in my life on a more regular basis is going to be a positive thing anyways.
Now, one thing that I suggest for people that aren't ready to completely switch from their coffee, I'm a big coffee drinker myself. And so I'll often just put the tablespoon of the MicroBoost coffee into my hot coffee. And it makes like, you know, a nice coffee mocha that's got the extra 150, 200 milligrams caffeine in there, but also the mushrooms as well.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, the more research I've done on these medicinal mushrooms, to me, it's becoming more and more evident. And as a holistic health coach and a guy who's always looking to push the edge and optimize, I'm coming closer and closer to the fact that I feel like I should probably be taking these daily, almost the way I take a multivitamin. Have you come across that? I mean, I know this is your brand, and of course you would say, yes, Joel, but really, I mean, and the reason I say this is because they are adaptogens. And as a 41-year-old with two kids and a business, and, you know, it's stressful. We live these stressful lives. And I think when you have something like reishi, which can help bring down the nervous system, calm it down, or cordyceps, like, you know, there's right now it's, you know, I don't want to say cold and flu season. We're kind of out of that, but a lot of allergies and stuff. I could just see there's so many good benefits for having cordyceps on hand, you know, or having it regularly. And the same thing with chaga for immunity and turkey tail. So I'm just curious for you, have you come across that as well? Have you switched gears and maybe you're thinking as well? And like, this should be a daily staple.
Yeah. You know, I went to school for creative writing. And when I graduated, one of my first jobs was ghostwriting this spiritual thriller for a medical doctor, a Western medicine doctor who, you know, incorporates spirituality into his medicine, opens for like Deepak Chopra on the speaking circuits and so on. And I was helping him edit and revise this book that was a metaphor for the family told through the redwood tree forest. And so I was doing the research for the book and learned, you know, that the redwood trees have an interconnected root system in their forest, right? There's a couple of trees that are like this, and they're actually able to send nutrients and information, you know, stuff that is needed to different parts of the forest. And as I was researching and studying mushrooms, the mycelial network that we talked about, right, the root system of the mushrooms works in exactly this way as well. And it has a really symbiotic relationship with ecosystems and with nature, and can, just like the redwood tree roots, send nutrients, send information to different parts of the forest. It's almost like, you know, it's jokingly referred to as the wood wide web, you know. I think it really does contain the history of our planet. And there was even an article in The Guardian a couple of years ago about scientists measuring sound waves or patterns and electrical impulses that are traveling through the mycelium network. And they broke it down to identify as much as 50 quote unquote words that the mycelium is speaking and communicating and sending this information. And so it's a long way of saying that, yes, I believe that taking mushrooms on a daily basis helps us adapt. You know, adaptogenic is another synonym for functional or medicinal mushrooms. And I think that just like the mycelium will send different things to different parts of the forest or work differently depending on its surroundings, I think taking mushrooms on a daily basis are working inside of our brains, inside of our gut biomes, in a way to bring balance to our body. And so that's why, you know, taking them on the daily basis is proven to me and a lot of our customers to, you know, help people in their own unique ways, you know, because, you know, what Joel needs and what Robert needs are not always exactly the same. You know, there's a lot of science behind, you know, lion's mane is good for the brain or cordyceps are good for the lungs. But I find that everybody kind of has their own relationship with them. And the longer you take it, I think the more you're really focused also on that awareness of how it's working in your body, the more you start to notice, you know, the real amazing benefits.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. I want to get into products and what should we be looking at as consumers with products when we're trying to decipher, like, hey, is this a good product? We already talked about the fruiting body and the mycelium. What I'm asking, I think, in this question is really the not only if there's anything else that we should be aware of, but also the therapeutic doses, which you and I talked about. And I, for example, I remember like having lion's mane and I didn't feel shit from lion's mane. And I'm like, these people are telling me that their brain is buzzing. And I'm like, I don't feel anything. And I've always come back. I think it's just the dosage is probably not enough. And you and I both know there's some top brands out there that are cutting corners. They're very popular brands, and they are not using the mycelium. They're using more of the fruiting body, and they're cutting their product. And again, the therapeutic dosage. Yes, do I believe lion's mane works? Absolutely. But I mean, how much do I really need?
Yeah, it's a really crucial question. And you know, before even the Shark Tank competition, working at Custom Capsule Consultants, I was approached all the time to make brain drugs, essentially, or also known as nootropics. You know, people during COVID were looking for ways to, you know, help them focus and stay on task at home, you know, balancing work and home life. And so a lot of people would come to me and want to put lion's mane into products. And we make vegan soft gels. It's one of our specialties, but it's a really small form factor, right? The entire pill is 600 milligram fill volume, and most of that is oil. And so when people would approach me about making lion's mane, I said, you know, the research shows that you should take somewhere between 800 and 3000 milligrams, or, you know, 0.8 to 3 grams of lion's mane, you know, fruiting body powder on a daily basis for therapeutic effects. And if we were to put that much into soft gels, you know, you'd be talking about like a 7 to 10 soft gel serving size, which is, you know, kind of defeats the purpose of the convenience of a pill. So it wasn't until I found Namex and the fruiting body concentrates that it allowed us to make products in a small form factor like a soft gel to contain, you know, milligrams of fruiting bodies. And that's exactly important, right? And Sky and Jeff have a term that I quoted them using in Rolling Stone called fairy dusting, which unfortunately is really common in the supplement business because it's not a really regulated industry. And so a lot of supplement companies are just looking for label claim. They can say, hey, we have ashwagandha or lion's mane or elderberry or whatever the trendy ingredient is of the moment. But yeah, when you look closer at there, if there's only, you know, 5 milligrams of lion's mane, that's about as good as having none in there. And so, yeah, the answer is, yeah, between 8 for our serving size, like in our brain capsule, which is a combination of lion's mane and cordyceps, each pill has 750 milligrams of lion's mane and of cordyceps. So 1500 milligrams total, 2 pill serving size. You got that high end of the suggested dosage spectrum, or 3000 milligrams. Same with the coffee, 3000 milligrams of mushrooms per serving, which is the most of any mushroom coffee on the market, as far as I know.
Wow. Okay. Very cool. That's awesome. And I'm assuming the same for the reishi, for people that want to sleep or relax. It's the same thing. You're making sure we have good therapeutic doses that people can actually utilize, right? It's not a placebo effect. It's like, no, this is actually really working.
Exactly. You know, and I was in the CBD business. I still am. And it was like one of the fastest boom to bust industries that I've ever experienced. You know, a ton of people were racing in and saw, you know, dollar signs and money-making opportunities. And consequently, a lot of shoddy products were on the market. You know, there was a ton of brands for a while there that would have, you know, 15 tinctures. This one's for energy. This one's for sleep. This one's for, you know, getting your homework done. This one's for going to recess. And it's all the same formula, you know. And I think there was a lot of mismanaged expectations as well. You know, companies claiming you're going to have CBD and you're going to be Mary Lou Retton, you know, jumping out of your wheelchair. And consequently, when that didn't happen, there, I think a lot of people ruled out CBD as an entire industry or as an entire ingredient or category and said, you know, this doesn't work for me. And I don't want that same thing to happen with mushrooms. And now we're seeing mushrooms are really having a moment. They're extremely popular. There's a new mushroom brand almost every couple of hours, it seems like. And so I just want people, you know, if you're not going to have MicroBoost, to at least know how to read the label of the mushroom product at the store near you and be able to identify, like, is this using fruiting bodies or are they using myceliated oats? And if they're not explaining either way, you could probably guess that it's the latter, that they're using the oat product. And so, yeah, I want the industry to stay strong. I don't want it to go the same way as CBD. And so that's why I'm on shows like this, educating people about it and doing everything I can to get people to try MicroBoost so they can see the difference.
On that note, what about testing? And I don't know in the mushroom industry how big things like glyphosate are, or cadmium, lead. Is that a big deal as well? And then how do you guys, you know, hedge against that, I guess?
Yeah, well, mushrooms can really transform an environment. One of the cool things that they can do is pull toxins and heavy metals and, you know, all this terrible stuff out of the soil. And so, yeah, testing for those sort of things is crucial. And Namex is wonderful with having, you know, every sort of documentation that one could ever want on what is in, or more importantly, what's not in their mushroom concentrates. And so, yeah, having test results for heavy metals and bacteria is definitely crucial. And then it's, the science is kind of in its infancy still, and the testing is rather costly, but we are trying to understand, and mycologists are trying to understand, you know, if lion's mane affects your brain and the way that it does, where is that coming? Is it from the polysaccharides or the beta glucans and, you know, these different elements of the mushroom that are in there? And so those are some of the things that you can test for that aren't extremely cost prohibitive now. And in like cordyceps, for example, the main active ingredient is cordycepin. And so you can, you know, test for those levels of cordycepin and really, you know, keep our suppliers honest too. If they say, hey, this is a 10-to-1 concentrate of cordyceps, well, we can 10-to-1 concentrate and it should show, yeah, the cordycepin levels are on that exponent that they claim it is.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. Talk a little bit about psychedelics. I know that's also a part of the mushroom industry, the medicinal mushroom industry that you're also heavily involved in. And so just tell us a little bit about where you see that industry going and why you're so passionate about it as it ties directly in with these medicinal mushrooms.
Right. Yeah. I write a lot about psychedelic mushrooms for Rolling Stone, and I just find it really fascinating. I think the legalization of these long maligned plant medicines are some of the best examples of real democracy for our generation. And, you know, the idea that cannabis was illegal for, you know, almost 100 years, and enough people got together that now we have, I think, 40 plus states that have some form of medical or recreational cannabis. And now mushrooms are on that same path. You know, cannabis has kind of been a gateway drug, if you will, for the legalization of mushrooms. But what I find even more nuanced about it than cannabis is the interest of the pharmaceutical companies as well, right? Because it seems kind of counterintuitive that some of the magic of mushrooms, or the magic of the anecdotal experiences from so many people, is that, you know, they had one extreme or macro dose voyage or experience, and, you know, they quit smoking cigarettes. Or Paul Stamets, one of the most famous mycologists in North America, he had a stutter his whole life, never stuttered again after the first time he took mushrooms. And that's usually not the way that the pharmaceutical industry operates, right? It wouldn't be good business for them to give you one pill and never have to sell you a pill again. So I find it, you know, interesting and also, you know, just something to watch out for. I really wonder what is their fascination, and will mushrooms become so co-opted that, you know, the government or, you know, the alcohol companies see a trend in young people now, like drinking less and, you know, just having different cravings. And I'm wondering, and I hope this doesn't happen, that, you know, mushrooms or ketamine or MDMA or whatever the next legal drugs are, you know, replace alcohol in a way that, you know, still just kind of keeps people conformed, right? When I think the cool thing about mushrooms is it, you know, changes your perspective and can give you, you know, a whole new lease on life and make you question, you know, authority and the government and the meaning of life, you know? So I like to keep the counterculture alive. You know, I really love it. And, you know, it's a double-edged sword, right? When cannabis became legal, or as it was legalizing, there was a whole faction that we in California referred to as the Humboldt faction, right? Humboldt County and Trinity County, the whole Emerald Triangle up there is where the cannabis underground really thrived. It was like the mecca of cannabis growing for years, since the 60s. And so there's been families and generations that have been growing forever and making a great living off of it. And so when legalization first came up, they were the ones to raise their hands, like, what if we don't change anything, you know? What if we don't legalize it? And, you know, I see the merits there. And now today, Humboldt County is completely transformed, you know, and it was an awesome place to visit, almost like Never Never Land, where, you know, you had an entire economy that was running on a bunch of misfits that are playing in these magical woods and growing the best pot in the country. And so, yeah, now with mushrooms going that same way, too, I mean, I think legalizing is important. You know, obviously people shouldn't go to jail you know, be taken away from their families for a plant that, you know, is a fraction as harmful or harmful potential as something like alcohol or tobacco. But you know, so there's no real clear answer. Now there's a legacy market of psychedelic growers that I'm sure too would love to just stop at decriminalization, right? I mean, don't arrest me for it, but let's not open up the competition to the, you know, the Pfizers of the world and the pharmaceutical companies. So I find it really interesting. And one thing that I think is the central theme of my writing is in all these different pathways that people are converging towards psychedelics, you know, just trying to really identify and investigate what are people's real intentions? Do they really care about this? Or, you know, are there all of their opinions about how legalization should be rolled out just strategically geared toward their own financial interest, which I also find, you know, kind of hypocritical in the face of this mushroom that grows for free. You can grow it, you know, a couple pounds for less than $20, you know, if you do it yourself. And now everybody's just trying to find a way to capitalize on enlightenment.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think I'm really excited for what's to grow in the psychedelic industry. I've had a lot of good people on the podcast kind of talking about this, and we're seeing it with veterans and PTSD, trauma, people that have anxiety like for their entire lives, and even in addiction recovery, right? And I think there's just so much. We know Tim Ferriss is doing a lot of great work with like microdosing MDMA or LSD. And again, I think all of these things can be therapeutic when they're done and kind of held in this sacred light. And I know most people I know that are taking the psilocybin, that are using things like microdosing LSD or ketamine, like you mentioned. I just had a guy on the podcast talking about 5-MeO-DMT. I mean, these things are amazing. And I would love to do some of these things. And I think maybe for everyone, if it's right for them and their healing journey and wherever it goes, if it's going to make me a better leader, a better dad, a better husband, a better brother, I'm going to do it. So I'm all for it. I'm excited for what's to come in that arena. So really cool stuff. Is there any?
From just listening to your other podcast, I know that, you know, there's no magic pill. There's no, you know, shortcut that, you know, you can just live an unhealthy life and erase it all with a mushroom or with anything. But as far as powerful tools, yeah, it might be some of the most powerful thing. Everything you just listed there has been, you know, naturally grows on Earth here and is opening minds. And so I felt like, you know, as cannabis was legalizing, you know, we ended up selling our business right as legalization hit. And, you know, that ended up being good timing. But I remember thinking to myself, too, like, if legalizing is going to, you know, take this niche market of people that are really being helped by cannabis and increase it, you know, tenfold or whatever it is and have it be more mainstream accepted, then I think I should, you know, sacrifice whatever financial advantage that, you know, might have for me. If it's for the greater good, then, you know, you just got to get creative and find some other way to, you know, make a living or, you know, just bring more value. But, you know, yeah. I think the illicitness is what made it so profitable. I mean, after all, these are plants. It was the penalties and the risks and the liability that made it so expensive. And now with legalization, it kind of becomes more of a commodity. And so that kind of changes the way that the industry works and how people, you know, add value to it.
Yeah. Anything else you would add in terms of just what you're seeing in terms of addiction recovery, or any, just anything else that you would want to add in terms of the psychedelics?
Well, again, I mean, my most recent article for Rolling Stone was about PTSD for veterans, right? And so Biden approved a $10 million budget for psilocybin mushrooms to be given to veterans with PTSD. You know, some of the numbers that we go into in the article show that, you know, the number of veterans there are and then the number that are suffering from PTSD, $10 million is not even a drop in the bucket, right? And unfortunately, just the nature of laws and governments and bureaucracy, they move slowly, you know, the slow turning wheels. But, I mean, it is just huge. You know, some change is better than none. And again, you know, you don't have to necessarily go to a psychedelic therapist and spend forth to have that experience. And there are other guides out there. And, you know, even just microdosing is relatively safe experience. Or I think, you know, a non-intimidating experience for a lot of people. You know, I liken it to a cold pool. You know, I think taking an eighth of mushrooms is just, you know, having faith and jumping in there and being shocked by the temperature change. But with microdosing, I think it's allowing people to kind of dip their toe in the water, kind of feel it out, get comfortable with it, and grow in their experience and their relationship with the mushroom at their own pace.
Yeah, awesome stuff. Any exciting projects that you're working on that you're looking forward to, either with MycoBoost or with your supplement company, or just anything in the area that, you know, with Rolling Stone and just some articles or anything that you're excited about coming up that you're pumped about?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm working on a book right now to publish, hopefully by the fall this year. Working title is The Great Mushroom Renaissance, which is about what we've been talking about today. You know, just kind of a snapshot of 2024 and where everybody is coming, the different angles that they're coming from, to get into the mushroom business. And I'll be speaking at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas in a week with a couple of other panelists, some really funny journalists, and one psychedelic satirist, the head of Hyphae Labs, which is one of the first labs that was testing like psilocybin amounts in psychedelic mushrooms. And I'm really proud of this. It's probably the biggest venue that I've spoken at so far. And the topic is, it's called Notes from the Underground. So there's I think 31 panels or workshops on mushrooms and other psychedelics at South by Southwest this year. It really is, you know, becoming the new cannabis in that way, and the interest of investors and the public. And I think ours is really unique. The curator of the whole track shouted us out as saying, you know, this is one of the top five panels that they're looking forward to. And just that unique blend of characters that we have on there, I think we're going to have a fun time with that and, you know, kind of give the audience a perspective that a little different than the, you know, the scientists and doctors. And, you know, I love them and the research that they're doing, and they know way more than me. I learn a ton. You know, I think we bring some insight that you can't get in a textbook or a law school.
Yeah. Exciting. And I can't wait for the book to drop when it comes out. Let me know. We'll have you back on. I want to know all about that.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
I want to start wrapping things up, and I'm going to ask a couple of final round questions. And then we'll let everybody know where to find you and connect with you. But just before I do, anything I didn't ask you that you wish I had?
Oh yeah, that's a good question. I mean, my experience with mushrooms, I think, is one that is worth sharing. And I think the thing that I've noticed the most and what it's helped me the most is a heightened awareness of my actions versus reactions. And so that has been, I think, the biggest improvement in my life. You know, I work with 100 different brands, you know, salespeople, vendors, production. Everybody has their own needs. Everybody, you know, thinks their needs are the only ones that matter at times. And that's a lot to navigate. And, you know, if you're constantly being affected by those moods and temperaments of others. You know, it can be a real grind. I mean, running your own business already is a lot of time and energy and stress. And so I'm just realizing that so much of reactions are self-imposed stress, you know, and that I can choose how I'm reacting to people. And I think that that is what not only microdosing, but lion's mane has done for me as well. In fact, psilocybin and lion's mane both do similar things on our brain, neurogenesis and neuroplasticity, which is like the formation of new brain cells and new neural connections. And so I think that, you know, just slowing that those moments down and having that extra awareness has just made me a happier person. And I think that all change and all self-improvement starts with awareness. And so that is, that's what's been most meaningful for me. And that's what I hear a ton from other people too. And when I always say in mushrooms, there's really no small talk, you know, at trade shows and stuff, we'll have our mushroom gummy samples up and people will walk up to me and they're like, "Hey, is this your mushroom company?" I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, "I'm bipolar." And you're like, "I'm Robert," you know? You know, people are really into it and willing to share. And so right now that community is really what has me coming back. You know, people that are into mushrooms or into all types of mushrooms, you know, they put it on their pizzas too. And so that enthusiasm is what really drives me. It's why I like working with other entrepreneurs too, right? They're all in. They're really committed to their life and their business. And that is inspiring to me.
Yeah. Really cool that you said you stacked the psilocybin with the lion's mane. Yeah, you stack them both and you've noticed a more, I guess, potent effect.
Yeah, I mean, by definition, microdosing, it should be, you know, something that's sub-perceptual. But I think that is, the definition is really changing, right? In the dictionary now, literally has two definitions. It means literally and it means figuratively, just because of the way people misuse it so often. So I think microdosing is kind of having the same thing now where, you know, people's definition is somewhere between sub-perceptual and barely perceptual. But definitely is working in the background. And I have noticed that they do work really well together. And there's a lot of interesting research behind it.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you told me, because I'm going to keep that in mind. So for my next stack. So thank you.
For sure.
All right, I'm going to wrap. We'll ask some final round questions and I'll get you out of here. Robert, I'm curious, just are there any choices that you made, or maybe a choice that you think that you made in your life that made you who you are today?
A single choice?
Or choices?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, moving to LA and starting this path to in cannabis that has led me here has been, you know, a hell of a ride. Like I said, I got a creative writing degree. And when we first started our first cannabis company, it was my roommate and I were both writers, and we were working on whatever writing projects during the day. And at night, we just jokingly would talk about starting an edibles company called I Can't Believe It's Pot Butter, you know, and we just liked the name. We thought it was funny. And then we, you know, just had no idea. I think so many entrepreneurs would never have been entrepreneurs if they really knew the extent of what they were getting into. And I'm definitely included in that bunch. And my roommate and I were like, yeah, we start this business and, you know, hire a couple people to make it and sell it. And we play frisbee golf and, you know, maybe try and get a job writing on The Office, and, you know, it'll be a good life. And yeah, it became quite all consuming and 15, 16 years later, still going at it. But yeah, I mean, I don't regret any decisions, rather even ones that I sometimes, you know, wish I would have made a different choice, have made me the person I am today. And I'm really grateful for it. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Yeah. Well said. You wouldn't be where you're at too, if you hadn't made these decisions, you know. And I just love where you've come and where you are now, because, you know, you're speaking on stage, you know, in the next week, but, you know, there was nothing in the back of your mind years ago that you were like, man, one day I'm going to be so famous and speaking on stages and writing in Rolling Stone. Like, No, you just followed your passion and you just delivered value over and over again. And people saw your worth and it led from one opportunity to the next. And, you know, some people call it luck. I don't think it's luck, but you were putting yourself out there creating value. So that's really cool.
We're all creating this experience, and it's been fun, especially the team I have around me. I'm so grateful for them and this whole community in the mushroom world, and you know, people like you committed to improvement and being the best version of yourself. I mean, that's what we could hope for, right? That's hopefully how our planet is going to be the best version of itself.
Yeah. I'm a big reader. Are there top like 1 to 3 books that just really impacted your life and you would tell someone else, you got to go out and read these?
Yeah. The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg is one of my top recommended books. It talks about how habit, you know, core habits can change your life. And also it talks a lot about business and product development and how, you know, consumer habits, you know, play into products either catching on or not. That's one of my favorite books. How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie. You know, it's a sales book, you know, and I'd heard of it. My grandma recommended it to me when I was, you know, probably 8th or 9th grade. And it seemed like cheesy to me just on the title. But when you open it up, his whole secret to being a great salesperson is to genuinely care about what you do and genuinely care and listen to others when they speak, you know, and it's so, so simple, but such a universal truth. And then otherwise, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill is an incredible one. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I mean, there's endless ones. I'm recently was gifted a book about the Kabbalah for my birthday recently. And I find a lot of interesting philosophy in there that, you know, goes back to kind of this Eastern thing. And you know, I think a mushroom, you know, spiritual, you know, back to the earth thing. We're just talking about like all of suffering in life is this illusion that ourselves are separate from everything else. And that, you know, trying to benefit the self to the detriment or without thinking of the world and everyone in it as a holistic, you know, total is really fascinating. And it was, I didn't know the guy very well, and he gave me this really intense book, and I think I like him a lot more since.
Was it the bipolar guy that stopped off at your booth?
No, but that guy does have some awesome emails.
Any, I'm curious, do you have any rituals or practices that you do like on a daily basis? You know, some people do gratitude journaling. Some people are getting up at 4 a.m. and doing cold plunges. What do you do?
Yeah, I walk my dogs every morning, usually a minimum of 3 or 4 miles. Have my mushroom coffee when I get back. I try and wake up without any stimulants. Some days are harder than others, but get a good 3-4 mile walk in. I do, calisthenics, you know, just aerobics. I learned about myself a few years ago that if I have to go and drive to the gym, I'm not going to get that workout in. So just walking out my front door, jogging, you know, doing body weight exercises. And I really should meditate more than I do. But I've been practicing that. I've got a couple of apps and try and find that way for coping as well, especially like we were talking about, you know, find that serenity now when you have a really challenging sales call.
I guess you could always just meditate and yell serenity now, like Frank Costanza. You could always do that too. That's a form of meditation, right? I don't know.
Yeah, it worked well for Frank Costanza.
Always a good Seinfeld reference. One of my favorite shows. Man, Robert, this was amazing. It was great talking with you. Where can people just connect with you, learn more about MicroBoost and everything that you guys are up to?
Yeah, thanks a lot. At microboost.com, that's MYCRO Boost, spelled with a Y like mycology is, the study of mushrooms. On Instagram, we're at MicroBoost, also Facebook, Twitter. And then if you want to check out my Rolling on Rolling Stone, you search Robert Johnson, Rolling Stone Psychedelics. The most recent article was my 10th one there. And it was a lifelong dream. I was a big Hunter Thompson fan growing up, and I always wanted to write about drugs for Rolling Stone. And so that's been a dream come true.
Amazing. That's amazing. Robert Johnson from MicroBoost. Appreciate you so much, man. Thanks for being on the show.